A few weeks ago, one of our newer members said, "Hey, a preacher, I'd just like to know, how does God speak to you? How does you talk often about Him telling you what to preach? How does He do that? Does He speak to you in an audible voice?" And I said, "No, I don't hear from God in an audible voice." Now, there are some preachers that say they hear from God in an audible voice, but I think it's the pizza they ate the night before and not really God talking to them. I've never heard God speak to me in an audible voice, but He does speak to me through different things and puts ideas and thoughts and outlines in my head for messages. Last week, for example, I was down visiting with my father-in-law, and he made one statement that led to last Sunday morning's message. Sometimes it's a scripture. Thank you, guys. Sometimes it's a scripture that does. Sometimes it's a song. And sometimes it's a little story that I've read. And that's the case this week. I read a little story, and it's going to be in the bulletin in the month of August, I think. But there was a story of a father and a little girl that had just come home from burying his wife and her mother. And, of course, they were brokenhearted as a result of that. And it was the first night after the funeral that they'd spent by themselves. And so Daddy tucked the little girl into her bed. And then he got into his bed and tried to go to sleep, but couldn't. And in a little while, he heard his little girl, and she was just 4 or 5 years old, say through the darkness, "Daddy, it's so dark in here." And he called back to her and said, "Honey, there's nothing to worry about. Everything's safe. You're safe. Everything's going to be okay." And a few more seconds passed, and then that little voice cried out again, "Daddy, you love me through the dark, don't you?" And Daddy said, "Yes, honey, I love you through the dark." And then the story goes that he turned his face toward his heavenly Father, and he said this, "Dear God, thank you for reminding me through my little one that you, my Father, love me through the dark too." Now this morning, I want to preach a sermon entitled, "God Loves Through the Dark, Too." God loves through the dark, too. And I have three simple points that I want to share with you this morning. Number one, God loves through the darkness of sin. He loves through the darkness of sin. You see, the Bible tells us that every single one of us are sinners. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And the Bible tells us that because we are sinners, that we dwell in a spiritual darkness. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." I want you to think with me just for a moment. What is darkness? If you went home this afternoon and you looked up in your dictionary the definition of darkness, it may not be the first one, but it will be the second or the third one if it's not the first one. The definition for darkness is the absence of light. The absence of light. Because, you see, if you have any light at all, if there's just one star shining, or if there's just one street light that's on, if there's just one little night light that's on, or if there's just one little miniature flashlight that's on, you do not have darkness. Darkness is when every bit, every speck, every source of light is out. And the Bible uses that to picture what our life is like without sin, or in sin. What our life is like in sin. We're in spiritual darkness. Hey, when you're in darkness from a physical standpoint in this body, when you're in darkness, if you're in complete darkness with no light, you cannot see the way to go. I mean, if it's completely dark with no light at all, and you don't know, I mean, even in the confines of your home that you are familiar with, that you know where every piece of furniture is, if it's completely dark, more than likely you're going to stub your toe when you get up and try to get somewhere. Because you can't see the way to go. You, in darkness, you feel all alone. In darkness, it's frightening, like it was for this little girl in the story. And in darkness, if you stay in darkness long enough, pretty soon you have no hope. And one of the characteristics of hell is the fact that it's dark in hell. There is no light in hell. And I know it's a place of fire, and we usually associate light with fire, but in hell there is no light at all. And you can't see, and you feel alone even though there's millions of people there. And once you go to hell, there is no hope of ever getting out of that place. And the Bible says, in sin, we live in that darkness. Now, you might be here this morning and you might say, hey, you read that verse that says men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I'm not evil. In fact, I'm not a bad guy. I'll admit I'm not perfect, but I would not categorize myself as evil. I want you to notice what that verse says. It says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And I want to reason with you this morning. How many evil deeds does it take to make a person a sinner? The Bible gives us the answer to that question. Just one. Just one evil deed, one wicked deed, one disobedience against God, one breaking of the commandment makes us a sinner in God's sight. In the book of James chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, for whosoever shall keep the law, the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And you may be a pretty good guy. You may be a pretty good girl this morning. And you may try to live an upright, righteous, moral life. But if you've told one lie, if you've disobeyed your parent one time, maybe it was 40 or 50 years ago when you committed that act of disobedience, that made you a sinner. And as sinners, we live in darkness, in that spiritual darkness that the Bible talks about. We might point to the good that we've done in our life. We might point to the good deeds and the good acts that we've done. But I want to remind you that the Bible says that all of our righteousnesses, all of the good things that we would offer up to God to prove how good we are, He looks at and He says, in my sight, they're nothing but filthy rags. Just filthy rags. So without light, we live in the darkness of sin. But the good news is that through that darkness of sin, God loved us. He loved us. And He sent light. Hey, Daniel, come back up here for a second. And Dave, would you come up too? David, would you come up? And I want to represent this, represent darkness. All right? And Daniel, I want you to get behind it. Now, it's not dark back there, but this is just going to be representative. And Dave, you come over here. And hold this. Okay? Point it toward your brother over there. Did it come on? Here, let me try this. All right, there you go. Now you should have enough cord to hold it up a little bit. And the Word Jesus was with God, and the Word Jesus was God. In that first verse, it uses the word Word. But what it's talking about in that first verse is the person of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So here's Daniel, he's living in his sin, just like every single one of us lived in darkness when we were sinners.
God loved us through that darkness. He sent Jesus Christ, who was not only life, but light. And that light shined in this darkness, and the Bible says we didn't understand it. We didn't comprehend it. Then it goes on. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Talking about John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Here's John the Baptist. And why did God send John the Baptist? I'll be John the Baptist. David is Jesus, the light. John the Baptist came. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. That's why when he introduced Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Here's the light. He can get you out of the darkness, out of the light, out of the darkness into the light. This person can do it. It goes on. He was in the world, talking about Jesus, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Because of our sin, we dwell in darkness. But in that darkness, through that darkness, God loves us. And he sends the light. And then it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." So here's the picture. Daniel's in darkness, representing all of us. God loved him through that darkness and sent the light. If he'll step out of that darkness into the light, in other words, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ did die for him on Calvary's cross, like we pictured in the Lord's Supper, and he'll put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ cleanses him from all sin, and he comes out of the darkness into the light. He's saved. He's fit for heaven. He's a child of God. He's a member of the family of God. And every single person that's in darkness gets to make that choice. We get to decide, am I going to continue to live in darkness, or am I going to step into the light? Every single person here, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you get to make that choice this morning. You get to make the choice, am I going to continue to live in darkness, or am I going to step into the light? Stepping into the light means just believing in Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And your life changes. Now, I don't mean that every bad habit you ever had goes away immediately. That doesn't happen. I mean, it happens for some people, but it doesn't happen for everybody. What changes is your eternal destination. What changes is your relationship with God. You are no longer living in the darkness of death. You come out into the light of life because you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so through the darkness of sin, God loves us. Aren't you glad he does? Aren't you glad that we don't have to live in the darkness? So Daniel steps out of this darkness into the light. Point it down. Man, that's really good. Okay, thanks, Dave. Right. He's blinding, isn't it? So, when we step out into that light, we start a spiritual journey. You see, here's darkness. And our journey, in this journey, takes us closer to the light. And closer to the light. Now, sometimes in a Christian's life, something happens and they turn around. They don't lose their salvation, but they sort of take a detour in their journey. And instead of facing light, headed toward the light, they turn their faces back toward darkness. Well, we use the term backsliding to describe that. It's where we sort of, instead of making progress this way, we sort of backslide this way back toward the darkness. Again, we don't lose our salvation. Once you're a child of God, you're a child of God forever. Just like you'll always be the child of your parents. Nothing can change that. Always be a child of God. But we quit making progress toward the light. I want to tell you something. When we do this and face back this way and head back toward that darkness, God still loves us. He still loves us. There's a wonderful story in Luke chapter 15. I don't have the time to read it like I wanted to this morning, but about a younger son that comes to his father and says, "Dad, I'd like everything that I'm going to get when you die. I know you're not dead yet, but I'd like it now." And Dad says, "Okay, here's your part of the inheritance." That son takes that inheritance, goes to a far country, and spends it and wastes it. He ends up in that far country feeding hogs, feeding the pigs. And the Bible says that he got so hungry that he began to desire the slop that he was feeding the pigs. And the Bible says he came to himself and he says, "You know, at home, Daddy's servants have plenty to eat. I'm going to go back home and I'm going to tell Daddy, I don't deserve to be a son anymore. I just want to be one of your servants." And the Bible says, if you read that story real closely, as he headed home, when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran to him. You know, when we turn away from God, God doesn't turn away from us. He doesn't. When we turn away from God, God is steadfast in his love toward us. And through that darkness that we're in, he still loves us. And all we have to do is turn around. Turn around, Daniel. And in a great way off, God sees us in the form of the Holy Spirit who never left us in the first place. He comes and he loves us and gets us back on track. If you're here today and you're a Christian, you've turned back toward the world, you've turned back toward darkness, I want to tell you something. God's never taken his eye off of you. He's never quit loving you. Through that darkness, he loves you. And then number three, God loves us through the darkness of trial and testing. Sometimes on this journey from darkness to light, God has to sort of nudge us along to take the next step. Because you see, we get a little bit closer, and sometimes we get satisfied in our Christian life. God's not going to be satisfied until we get all the way over here. I mean, he wants us to keep making progress. And so sometimes we stop along about here and we sort of get satisfied with where we are. And God says, "I got to get him to the next level. I got to get him to take that next step." So he sort of nudges us. Boy, it's hard to nudge this guy. He nudges us along. And he does that sometimes by sending times of testing and trials into our life. For Abraham, it was when God said, "Go offer up Isaac." For Joseph, it was when he was sold by his brothers and falsely accused in Potiphar's house and thrown in jail. For Ruth, it was leaving home when Naomi was going back home. And those times of trials and testing come to every Christian. Doesn't mean we've done anything wrong and turned around. It just means that, hey, God wants us to take the next step. He wants us to, you know, get a little bit closer to the light. And so he'll send things into our life that we don't understand why they come, but he sends things into our life to get us to take that next step toward him, to get us to trust him a little bit more. He'll send things into our life like sickness, like cancer, like heart disease.
He'll send financial reverses. He'll send through our children. They'll do things that we don't approve of, or they'll be like the prodigal son and leave for a while and go into a far country. The death of a spouse or a child or of a loved one. And when those times of testings and trials come, even though we're still facing the light, even though we're still headed in that direction, it seems like we go into a cloud of darkness where we can't see and understand how God is working in our life. And so we worry, we are frightened, we get anxious, we get discouraged, and those clouds just sort of even darken it, darken the sight of God even more. And I want to remind you this morning again that in those clouds of darkness, God loves us. He loves us. We may not understand what He's trying to accomplish. We may not understand what He's trying to do in our life. But every time that darkness seems to come in the life of a Christian, it's because He wants us to take the next step for the light. Okay, thanks, Dan. Steve, if you would unplug that for me, please, sir. He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world." And we may get into situations where it seems like all hope is gone, and we don't see any purpose in it. And what God says to us is, "Hey, I just want you to trust me. I know what I'm doing. I just want you to get a little bit closer." You see, we get stuck in that rut. Sometimes God has to nudge us, and sometimes God has to kick us, and sometimes God has to get behind us and push us to take that next step. And sometimes it doesn't feel very good when He does that. But all He's trying to do is get us closer to Him. Get us closer to the light. So let me ask you this morning as I close, what kind of darkness are you in this morning? Are you in the darkness of sin? We have a God that loves us through that darkness. He sent Jesus to be the light, to dispel the darkness of sin. Hey, how much light, let me ask you, how much light does it take to dispel darkness? How much? Just a little bit. You're right, Don Ray. Just a flicker of light. You might say this morning, "Hey, I don't understand this. I can understand your picture coming out of darkness into light. I don't understand all this stuff about this journey. I don't understand all this stuff about living in darkness and coming into light." Well, let me make it real simple, like the Sunday school lesson did this morning. You understand you're a sinner, don't you? One sin makes you sin. A sinner. And if we were honest, there's not one person here that wouldn't have to admit, "Yeah, I committed one sin, preacher. May have been a long time ago, but if one sin makes me a sinner, I'm a sinner." That sin has a penalty for it. Wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for that sin when He went to Calvary's cross. He paid your penalty. He paid my penalty. He paid for every sin I committed. He paid for every sin that you committed. This morning, if you'll receive Him, just like we read in that verse a moment ago from John chapter 1, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." If you'll receive the gift of salvation that Jesus paid for you on Calvary, you can get into God's family. You can. You can get your sins paid for. You can become a child of God. You can be fitted for heaven simply by receiving Christ. If you're in the darkness of sin this morning, hey, step out into the light. Step out into the light. It's a good thing. I don't know of any person that's ever regretted stepping out from the darkness of sin into the light. I've never met one person that regretted it. If you're in the darkness of sin, come on into the light. It's good. It's good. If you're in the darkness of backsliding this morning, you know what you got to do? Just turn around. You're headed back toward the world. You got your eyes on the world. Just turn around. You're a Christian. You're a child of God. We don't belong in the world. We don't belong in the things of the world. We belong, our life belongs headed toward the light. And if you're in the darkness of trial and testing this morning, my message to you is just hang on. God still loves you through that darkness. He's got a purpose for what He's doing in your life. He'll work it out. Just hang on. Keep going forward. Keep headed toward the light. Eventually, you'll step out of that cloud. Say, well, Brother Darrell, you don't know I've been in that cloud for a long time. Well, I don't know how long you're going to be in that cloud, but I know sooner or later you're going to get out of it. It may be when you go to heaven. Maybe that's when you're going to get out of the light. And by the way, what does the book of Revelation say? In that place, we have no need for the sun or the moon because the glory of God is the light in that place. And the glory of God is the Son of God. You'll get out of that darkness. Just hang on. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the simple truths that are in your word. I pray for those that are here this morning that are in darkness. I don't care what it is, the darkness of sin, the darkness of backsliding, the darkness of trial and testing. I pray, Father, that we'd remember, if nothing else, that little line from that story. Daddy, you love me through the dark, don't you? Yes, honey, I do. I do. And we can look toward our Heavenly Father and we can say, Daddy, it's awful dark down here. And we can hear Him say, don't worry. I got my eye on you. I love you in the dark too. Father, I pray that you'd bless the invitation. If there's those here this morning that's never received Christ, I pray today would be the day they make that decision. If there's Christians here that are struggling, Father, because of some time of trial and testing, I pray that you'd encourage them this morning with the simple reminder that you know what's going on in their life and you have a purpose. Bless the invitation. Those that need to come and receive Christ as their Savior, maybe there's some here that need to come for baptism or church membership. You know what's on our hearts. Talk to us, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.